Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. It's my privilege to lead you in worship today and to celebrate with you all of God's gifts, His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. In the Lutheran Church, we call that the means of grace. How does God get His grace to us? These are the vehicles. And we are blessed this morning to see all three vehicles at work. And our prayer is that that grace will touch your life in a personal way. We're going to start off with baptism. So I'm going to invite the baptism people to come up. We light the candle as a reminder that that means of grace in baptism plants faith in the life of a child. Faith is not intellectual, it's relational. And God's the one who creates this relationship. A dear pastor friend of mine who was my spiritual father, Pastor Leroy Biesenthal, you've heard me mention him before, used to say if he ever built a church, he would put above the baptismal font a neon sign that said, God at work, and then he would have it flash off and on during a baptism. Well, we didn't quite do that here at St. Mark's, but this is God at work. Baptism is commanded by our Lord, and he tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And Jesus says, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. So baptism is God making a disciple today, but then the teaching has to follow. And that teaching is planned by God. The first line of teaching is mom and dad, Kayla and Stephen. Stephen, as the spiritual leader in your home, you will have opportunity to teach your son as well as your whole family as God develops that to know Jesus and to follow him. With your wife, Kayla, these are the words that God says to fathers. Do not exasperate your children. That means don't be inconsistent with them. Don't exasperate your children, but train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If that's your intention as parents, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
May God enable you to do that very important work for him. Godparents are additional Christian disciples who are chosen to witness a baptism, but you also have ongoing responsibilities. You can pray for your godson. You can model for him what it means to be a disciple. You can encourage him. And one thing I encourage godparents to do is remember him not only on his birthday, but on his baptism birthday. And it's a reinforcement of what God has done for him. And you have that great opportunity. So I will also ask you, will you gladly and willingly accept that responsibility and fulfill it to the best of your ability? Then say, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
The teaching continues. A Christian congregation where a child is baptized provides Christian growth opportunities for all that are a part of that congregation. And you will have that opportunity not only to pray for this family, but also to encourage them in their faith and provide Christian growth opportunities for them. If that's your willingness and intention as a congregation, I ask you also, will you willingly and gladly fulfill that responsibility? Then declare so by saying, we will with the help of God. May God enable us all to do that work for him. Now let's watch God at work. Simple water in the name of our God changes people's lives. And as I speak the words, remember we begin in the name of that same God, and it reminds all of us of our baptism. Let's see if we can move him over here. See if I can wake him up. That's the Levi Alexander Rose, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, as a sign that you have been redeemed by Christ who was crucified. The Lord preserves your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Just had to have a little movement, didn't you? Would you join me as we pray? Almighty God, you've heard our commitment, each one of us. Enable us to fulfill that. We thank you for the miracle of baptism, and we thank you for doing that this morning for Levi. Enable us all to remember how much grace you have poured into our lives and the way you've gotten it to us as we worship together today. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Newest member of the family of God. I put together this morning, in light of the fact that we will be sharing the Lord's Supper and the Word of God, a confession that incorporates the five questions that we usually put on the screen as we share the Lord's Supper on Sunday mornings. And I thought it would be just an opportunity for all of us to say yes to those questions. And God says if we can say yes to them, we're properly prepared to receive His supper with blessing. In your bulletin and on the screen, let's confess our sins and be assured of His forgiveness. Would you rise as we do that? Since it is our intention to commune with our Savior in His Word and Supper, it is proper for us to examine ourselves in order to commune with blessing. Therefore, I ask you, are you a sinner? Yes, I am a sinner, born sinful and continually sinning. Are you sorry for your sin? Yes, I am truly sorry for my sin against God and others. Do you believe Jesus died for your sin? Yes, I believe Jesus bore my sins on the cross and forgives me. Do you intend, with God's help, to change your sinful ways? Yes, it is my intention to live for Him who died for me and rose again, and to live according to His word. Do you believe Jesus' body and blood are present with the bread and wine in His supper? Yes, I believe Jesus gives me His body and blood to assure me I am His, I am forgiven, and I have a place in heaven. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. So let it be, Lord. Amen. Let's remain standing and praise our God. Two beautiful songs that kind of reinforce what we were just talking about. All because of Jesus, and then together in Christ alone.
Christ alone my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love.
Good morning. What a beautiful song that is. So many promises in that song. My name is Mike Kennedy. Welcome to St. Mark's if you're a visitor or a guest. And on behalf of St. Mark's, I would ask you to open your pew Bible in front of you. It's on page 1494. We're going to read it from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And it begins with verse 9. As follows, To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a different distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, kids, come on down. I've got a message just for you. So come down and join me on the steps here. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Is that all this morning? Wow. But that's important. All of you. How many of you like to travel? You like to go places? You like to go places? You know, like, I don't know, Six Flags? Anybody ever go Six Flags? Oh, there's a couple of those. Okay. The Pumpkin Patch, that's a good place to travel to. Did you know that...
I went to the park.
Okay. Is there any place that you haven't gone that you'd still like to go? Anybody interested
in...
The water park. Okay, that's a good place. Anybody interested in something like across the ocean? Like Hawaii or something like that? Anybody? No? Well, I like to travel across the ocean. Now, you were...
Across the ocean?
You never did or you did?
I did.
You did? Oh, okay. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? I was wondering about that question this morning. Nobody has. Well, that's in your future. And you know, some places where you might like to go, you won't be able to get there in a car. You might have to take an airplane. What do you think about this airplane? You think this airplane would take you across the ocean?
No. Paper airplane. Small. Can't ride on it.
No, you can't ride on this one, can you? In fact, I don't even think it'll fly very good. Would you get it for me when I try to fly it? Okay, so you aren't all running after it? Let's see if it'll fly. That didn't go very far, did it? Oop! Now, there's a place that I'd like to go someday, and maybe you would too. I'd like to go to heaven. How many of you would like to go to heaven someday? Do you think this airplane would take you to heaven? Do you think this airplane would take you to heaven?
No.
Way too small. No, it wouldn't take you to heaven. But maybe this airplane can tell us how to get to heaven. You ready? Since it's no good, I'm going to tear the wings off of it and see if it will help us see how we can get to heaven. What do you think? Is that how we get to heaven? By believing in Jesus, right? And what he did for us on the cross when he died for our sins.
And my old grandpa died.
When your grandpa died, if he believed in Jesus, he goes to heaven, right?
Yeah.
And so the cross reminds us, if we want to go to heaven, this is how we get there, by believing in Jesus. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? Can you all say, yes? You can all say yes, right? Can you all say yes? All right. This is how you get to heaven. Let's have a prayer and thank God for sending Jesus so we can go to heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. He died on the cross for all of our sins. Help us to believe in him and know that our sins are forgiven and we have a place in heaven when this life is over. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Back there by the door, we have the cross, and those who are 4 years old through fourth grade are invited to go to little worship. So head down that aisle there. Guess I'll put the trash in my pocket here. Unless anybody wants the cross. Would anybody like the cross? All right, I'm gonna give that to Claudia. There's a reminder for you. Excuse me. If you have been with us during the last two times that I shared the message of God's Word with you, you remember that I tried to put a three-part series together, kind of a mini-series on October the 2nd, then last Sunday, and then this Sunday. And it was based on 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy is the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young friend of his and a disciple. And Paul was kind of mentoring him. And so the series was discipleship lessons from Timothy, or for Timothy from Paul. And those discipleship lessons are also for us. Now, if you remember the first time on the second, we talked about the reason we would be a disciple. And we used the because, therefore, because of what Jesus did on the cross that we were talking about, we then have a chance to therefore respond and live for him. Not to get his love, but because we have all of his love already. And then I highlighted how important people are in our lives because Paul highlighted that. Remember, he told Timothy, you have the faith that was passed down to you from your mother and your grandmother. And I just need to highlight this morning how that happens in a real life situation that we are a part of today. Over here this morning, in the family where the baby was baptized, we have two grandmothers, two great-grandmothers, and one great-great-grandmother. A faith family that has passed that down to the generations that follow. That's what Paul was talking about. And we all need people in our lives that are going to do that kind of thing for us. It's really, really significant. The second time, last Sunday, we talked about the fact that it's hard to be a disciple, and especially a countercultural disciple. And how can we be a countercultural disciple? Well, we have to be founded on the truth of God's Word. And we need to have from that, what I talked about last week, a biblical worldview. When I'm in God's Word, when I know His Word, when I'm founded on His Word, then I can say when I encounter what the world brings upon me, the culture, if you will, I can encounter that with the truth, and I can say, this is what God says about that. That's a biblical worldview, not what do I feel about it? What does the world feel about it? What do my leaders tell me about it? What does God say about it? That's the only way I can be a countercultural disciple. Now today, again, drawing upon Paul's encouragement to Timothy, we want to look at being and living a disciple life with an eternal perspective. That's why I did the message with the children. An eternal perspective. This isn't all there is. This life isn't all there is. A lot of people like to think it is. They're going to live it to the fullest because tomorrow they will die. And some people, that's the end of what they think. When we did evangelism in the early years here at St. Mark's, we used a track. It was entitled, Like It or Not, You're Going to Live Forever. The question is, where are you going to live forever? Well, Paul models that to Timothy, and if you would turn to 2 Timothy in your scriptures, the page is 1698. There's an outline in the bulletin, and it will be on the screen also if you like to take notes or if you want to follow along. I would like to have you look up the scriptures as we get to them. Let me read, first of all, what Paul says about an eternal perspective on his life and his encouragement to Timothy and also to us. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, first of all, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. That's the Apostle Paul. Now let me just tell you what he's referring to. A drink offering in the Old Testament was a sacrificial offering to God where they poured wine at the base of the altar. And Paul is kind of recalling that Old Testament concept and saying, my life is coming to an end. It's like being poured out before God. He goes on and says, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul models what it means to live as a disciple with an eternal perspective. This life isn't all there is. I want to run the race. I want to finish the race. I want to do it right. But I know that there's something better in store. And he assures Timothy of that, a place in heaven forever. And he's living his life with that eternal perspective. One little side note, a dear pastor friend of mine way back, probably 40 years ago, preached on this text on New Year's Eve, and the next morning, his wife couldn't wake him up. He had preached about being sure of eternal life and went to be with the Lord a few hours after that. I've always hesitated to preach on this text, but I have an eternal perspective. And then if you skip down to verse 16, he's now encouraging Timothy to take a stand no matter what the circumstances. Difficulties in life are going to be there. He says, take a stand. At my first defense, and this is when he was called before the governmental officials of the day. My first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. I was there by myself. So even if we stand alone, here's what Paul says we need to do. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. That the message might be fully proclaimed and that all the Gentiles, and in Scripture that's kind of a general term for those who don't believe yet, that they might come to believe and hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul wanted Timothy to be sure of eternal life. Many years ago, when we did evangelism calling here at St. Mark's, The training was to engage people in a conversation by kind of bringing to their mind that their life wasn't going to continue forever and that it would come to an end at a certain point. And so we used two questions as we approached people, and it wasn't to try to find out where they were or take a survey about the what answers you got. It was to get into a conversation. And those two questions are questions I'd like to ask you this morning. In light of what Paul is saying to Timothy, live your life with an eternal perspective, that there is more than what we have here now. First question was, have you come to the point in your spiritual life where you can say if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven? That question we asked to hundreds of people in our community. I run into people all the time, and I've had experiences with people who I have conducted funerals for here at St. Mark's, who in their testimony in joining the church said, it was when your evangelist came to my house and asked me these questions, that's what changed my life. Now you get different answers. Well, I hope so. Maybe. I don't know. But God wants us to be sure. But the second question is really the key. Suppose you were to die tonight, and you were to stand before God, and he won't have to do this, but he would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? Answers that we received were, well, I'm not as bad as, and point to somebody else. I'm not that bad. I've always tried my best. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector in the scripture reading? What'd the Pharisee say? I've done my best. I've tried my best. Jesus told that parable, and what happened with the tax collector? God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you have to say that to God, the only answer that'll get you in, as I have the grace and mercy from Jesus who paid the price for it when he died on the cross. In fact, if you go back to John 6, verse 47, this is what Jesus says, very simple. I tell you the truth. In the old King James, that was, verily, verily, I say unto you, this you can take to the bank. In verse 47, he says, I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. Right now. Have you come to the point in your spiritual life where you can say if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven? If you believe in Jesus, you can say, I have it now. It's not arrogant. It's not pride. It's a hope that is sure because of what Jesus did. So I live my life with the encouragement of the Apostle Paul, and each one of us should live our lives with an eternal perspective. This isn't all there is. I want to do what God wants me to do now. It won't earn me a place in his heaven, but it will glorify him and be an expression of thanksgiving. And he says we can be sure. In the second two scriptures that we shared from 2 Timothy verses 16 to 18. You see, Paul expressing to Timothy, don't be afraid as a disciple. Take a stand. There is a tendency in our world to what we call universalism. Anybody know what universalism is? That means everybody's going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you believe. That's like me saying to my wife, honey, which road do we take to St. Louis? And she says, doesn't matter as long as you're sincere. I won't get to St. Louis. There's one way, and we need to take that stand. The tendency of our world is to say everybody's going to heaven, and when somebody dies, they're in a better place. Well, if they didn't know Jesus, they're not in a better place. They're in a worse place than they were when they were on this earth. But the Apostle Paul is saying life has its problems, and there will be those who will challenge you, but have no fear as a disciple to take a stand for Jesus. Now, you notice in that second part of the outline, I concluded with the word witness. Why is it important to take a stand? If I'm wishy-washy, I can't help another person know how to get to heaven. Well, I believe in Jesus, but, you know, there's probably other ways to get there. No. Take a stand. Have no fear. God is with us. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy, and we can be sure of that. People need to know there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. They say that the average Christian has 7 people in their lives who don't know Jesus. Now, just kind of in your mind, roll through the Rolodex and think about the people in your life that, from what you can tell, you're not judging their heart, but from what you can tell, don't believe in Jesus. And you have a relationship with them. And you have an opportunity with them to take a stand that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Not arrogantly, not judgmentally, but genuinely. Why? Because we care about people's eternal destiny. Here's how Peter talks about that important witness in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. This is what Peter says. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. If I take a stand for Jesus and I will not compromise, I will not be wishy-washy, you will be blessed. Now, we don't want problems, we don't want persecution, but if it happens, that becomes a blessing because I've taken a stand for Jesus. And Peter goes on, do not fear what they fear, do not be frightened, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Who's the master of your life? Who tells you what's right and wrong? Who lives in you? Who leads you? Set apart, this is who he is, my Lord, my master. Set apart Christ as Lord, and then here. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Why would anyone ask us about the hope that's in us? Only if they see something different in us from all the world around us. Only if we stand out, only if we legitimately and confidently say, I am a disciple of Jesus, and he is my hope now and my hope eternally. I don't know how many people all around the world, when we used that evangelism approach with the 2 questions, came to know Jesus. but I know it was a significant number. There's a young man in, he's not so young anymore, in Branson, who used to be a member here at St. Mark's. I won't give you his name. He told me just the other day, it happened for me when your callers came to my house and shared with me that I could be sure of heaven because of what Jesus did. He's been a Christian witness ever since that moment, and he's now one of the leaders in the congregation that I started in Branson. And it was all because someone took a stand and said, this is the one way to eternal life. I want to encourage you, and I'm talking to me too, with one finger pointing at you, three back at me. I want to live as a disciple with an eternal, confident perspective. And that's only because I believe in Jesus. Would you pray with me about that? Heavenly Father, we want to be your disciples in every way. We want to be your witness so that others can know the way to heaven. Fill us with your Spirit. Put us in situations where we will have the opportunity to witness to you and point people to Jesus. We are willing and we are available. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1971, I went to an evangelism clinic in West Des Moines, Iowa. And I had, it was just a year before I came to St. Mark's. And the pastor there said, pray for God to bring somebody into your life that you can witness to. And I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek. I said, okay. And so I went back home after that clinic and I said, Lord, give me someone to witness to. And tongue-in-cheek, I said, you know, he's putting so many people in my life, I can't get anything else done. So ask him, and he will. Let's respond also as part of our worship by bringing him our tithes and our offerings. And during this time, we invite you to participate in our worship registration. That's our way of knowing your presence with us this morning. Let's respond to our God.
I know I
For our confession of faith this morning, let's use the words of the Nicene Creed, what we believe about our God. And notice that in the first person singular, it's what I believe, and as we say it together, it's what we believe together. Let's rise and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our special prayers this morning, we want to thank God for the safe return of our Guatemala team, and we'll be hearing more about the blessings of that trip, but they got back sometime early this morning, and Kevin told me 2 a.m. is when he got home. So good to have you here, Kevin. Also, we want to thank God for the wedding of Beth Kalahaki and Zach Jacob. Beth is the daughter of Ellie Barker, and we want to thank God for their marriage yesterday and pray for their blessing, his blessing upon them. We also want to remember Andy Bates. He has received a call from St. Paul's Jackson, Missouri, to be director of Christian education there, and that decision needs to be made, and we want to pray for God's guidance upon that decision. We also pray for Chuck Venegas, who is a friend of the Helsleys, and he's on hospice and not doing well. We also pray for healing for Jim Moss and Lewis Johnson, who is amazing. He's up here 9 days after a hip replacement. I don't know how that happens, but it's great to have him here. And I think he still needs some healing, so we will include that in a prayer for healing. Mike Defoe's mother died, and the funeral services will be held this coming Saturday, and we pray for comfort for the Defoe family. Would you bow your heads with me for these prayers, and after the special prayer, join me in the Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, you know the needs better than we do. We can name a few, but there are many more. And as we name people in our hearts, reasons for which we want to thank you for the blessings you've brought to them, and needs that they have for healing and help, as we name them before you, hear our prayer for them. We thank you for the return of our Guatemala mission team, and we pray for the seeds planted by them to grow and mature disciples of Jesus. We thank you for the wedding of Beth and Zach. Bless their union in Jesus. We pray for your wisdom for Andy as he seeks your will and makes a decision about the opportunity for ministry in Jackson, Missouri. We pray for healing for Lewis and for Jim, for Chuck in the midst of his most difficult time. Especially keep their faith strong in Jesus. We pray for comfort at the death of Anita Defoe, and especially comfort and strength for the family. We thank you for sending Jesus, and we ask you to help us remember that the body and blood he shed on the cross, in a miracle way, he gives to us as we share his supper today. Hear our prayer as we bring it in the name of Jesus, who has also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we share the Lord's Supper today, remember, a vehicle of grace. Grace is undeserved love. And as you partake, answering those questions as we did earlier, prepared to be blessed, God's grace assures you of his forgiveness and assures you of his presence in your life to live for him. These are the words of Jesus that give this meal its special blessing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in memory of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in memory of me." The peace and the power of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
For I've spoken word, you are singing over me.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen you to live as his disciple with an eternal perspective and keep you in faith for life eternal. Depart in peace and with the joy of the Lord. Amen. May God be above you to bless you, within you to sanctify you, around you to protect you, and before you to guide you. And may God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you always. Amen. Let's rise and sing our closing song. I just got to say this. Laura is the one who picks the music, and I always send her what I'm going to talk about. All you'd have to do is sing the hymns, and I wouldn't have to say a word. She really picks them good. Yeah. Please be seated just for a couple of brief announcements. Our life team has made these stickers available. If you'd like to get one to put on the rear window of your car, is a good place to put it. And it comes off with a razor blade. You know, some people say, oh, if I put it on, I won't be able to get it off. Well, it's not all bad. You can't get it off, but you can get it off, okay? And the Life Team has bought them, but if you'd like to contribute a dollar for them, that will just help us with our finances in the Life Team, okay? Thanks for letting me serve you these three out of the last four Sundays. My privilege. And I'm going to call upon the chairman of our congregation, first of all, Steve Kasten. And then while he's coming up, I'm going to slip back here to take my microphone off so that after I greet you at the door, I can head out the door. Our grandson is giving his confirmation paper at the 11 o'clock service at Concordia Kirkwood.
I thought he was retired. He's got places to go. I just wanted to take a quick minute and remind everyone, at our last voters meeting, we decided as a congregation to call another pastor. So in working on that process, we've put together a congregational survey. On Friday, it went out to everybody by email. So you can respond by email, or if you're more comfortable filling out a paper form, we've got a paper survey at the visitor's desk and at the connecting desk. So pick it up, fill it out, or do it online. We're going to have the survey open till next Sunday, so if you fill it out this week, just bring it back next Sunday, and we'll have a box to put them in or drop them at the office. But we're looking for everyone's input as we grow the ministry here at St. Mark's and look for an additional pastor to add with Bob and Lauren. So thank you very much.